this morning. We trust not to hold you long. We're going to move right along this morning. And I'm going to call your attention to the gospel according to St. Mark out of the first chapter. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 8 for your consideration. The Bible reads in St. Mark 1 and 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way for thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism repentance for the remission of sins. And they went out into all of the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with the girdle of his skin about his loins, he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Based of our thinking coming from the seventh verse, and preach saying, "There cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." Based of those verses, we'd like to use a thought of subject this morning, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We didn't have to do anything special. All we had to do would just be whoever we are, whatever we've gone through, whatever we've done in our lives. The grace of God has sustained us and yet still keeps us. And so because of his grace this morning, we are so grateful just to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Sometimes when we sit around and we watch and we see people enjoying Jesus, it's good to enjoy your God. Because those days when you're lonely, those days when you're going through, and sometimes when nobody's there but you, and you begin to realize that God has not left you. His grace still sustains you. And we thank him because if it wasn't for him, where would any of us be this morning? It is by that grace that I speak of and his divine will that we are here this morning in fellowship, praising and lifting up the name of Jesus. And every one of us may have our own mind and our own set ways as to how we love to praise the Lord. But anyway, you praise him. I believe that if it's sincere, God is pleased with whatever praise you give. You don't have to sing like anyone. You don't have to dance like anyone. You don't have to pray like anybody. All you got to do is just be you. And never let the enemy begin to feed your mind which you don't know how to pray. If you know how to ask for something, you know how to pray. If you know how to thank somebody for something, you know how to pray. If you know how to give your God praises in the midst of the storm and the rain, then you already know how to pray. I believe there's some prayers in the house this morning. I believe somebody's glad to see the sun shining this morning. We've had snow, we've had rain, we've had wind, and now God sends back the sunshine. So even when the dark clouds rise, got to know that there's a sun and there's joy in serving the Lord our God. We were able to see last week that God can still do whatever he wants to do, and he can do it when he wants to do it. We was thankful that God blessed us to go out to the holiday banquet and had a good time. And I heard the weather reports, and they seemed like they were pretty confident that the weather was coming. And somebody asked, "Well, Reverend Kate, are we going to have church in the morning?" I say, "Look out the window. You see anything, don't come, because I'm not coming." I told another individual, I said, I'm not even preparing anything tonight. I know that the Lord going to let me rest in the morning. So this is not a leftover message from last week. This is what God gave me for this week. Hallelujah, Jesus. My kids got more days out than we expected. But we'd rather they be safe than to be on these buses and going and trying to get around in the snow, because early in the morning, it's just as bad as it was late at night. So we are thankful that God has blessed us and gave us enough rain to get rid of all of the other excess snow. And there may be a little piles here or there, but watch after today. That's going to be gone as well. So I'm here this morning to declare to all of God's people that we serve a mighty God who is worthy to be praised even during the midst of a snowstorm. God is worthy of the praise. And some of us, we love to have that little break. We got all of our snacks together and we were ready for the weather. And then it didn't take no time before you got cabin fever. You were tired of eating your snacks. You were tired of going from one room to the other, tired of looking out the window and looking at the snow. And you just got to a place where you want to go somewhere. Where you going? A lot of times, if the weather was good, you're going to stay home anyhow. But it's just something about when you can't do what you think you want to do, it tends to bother you to a degree that you begin to worry about the fact that I wish I could get out of here. Sometimes you just got to be still. Let God be God. And be thankful that you had a roof over your head. Be thankful that you had not only food to eat, but you even had some snacks to sort of take care of that in-between meal. We find ourselves this morning quickly approaching Christmas Day to celebrate the birth of our Savior and to share the love of this season of giving and being thankful for the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. I don't know about you this morning, but I feel blessed. I heard Sister Glow last night, and Sister Glow still on fire this morning. You know, it's good to love your church enough to where when you can't come, you miss the folk, you miss the fellowship, you miss coming together. I enjoyed the break, but it is good to see your faces this morning. Hallelujah. Look at Mother Mary over there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't tell me God is not able. You may be old, you may begin to be frail, but as long as you got God, everything's going to be all right. Even with all of your aches and your pains, don't you know somebody's going through pain and can't feel it? So you ought to be glad that you know that gives you an opportunity to know that I am yet still alive. And I can call on the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is good. And we got to understand that we need to be thankful for all of our blessings. You see, it's not about the gifts, but just being alive is enough to celebrate. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with giving or receiving gifts. But don't stress yourself out if you can't get gifts. Just remember to give love at Christmas, which is the greatest gift of all during that time that Jesus dwelt amongst us on the earth. He told and gave us a new commandment, that ye love one another as he has loved us. And that's one of my favorite songs now, Give Love at Christmas. I thank God that I don't have to wait until Christmas comes to get love or to give love. But when we think about the birth of our Savior, it ought to give us a mind and a heart to give that same kind of love. A lot of times you stress yourself out about what you don't have, but what you don't have, many have less than what you got. So I believe we need to take a self-examination and try to make amends one with another, putting things in the right perspective to walk as brothers and sisters in Christ. And let us not go around being jealous and having hatred one toward another. Time is too short. Too much sickness is in the land. people are dying, and they were dying before we got here, and they're going to be dying after we leave. Death is going to always be around until Jesus comes back. And so we're just thankful this morning to yet be amongst the living. We are thankful that we got a roof over our heads, food to eat, and to be grateful and think about those that, for whatever reason, don't even have that. You don't know how blessed you are. Because there's somebody don't have all of the beautiful red and black and all these things that we do to celebrate and to enjoy the holiday season. But I found out as a young boy that whatever God blesses me with, to be thankful for it. I wonder how many of us are thankful of those that have made the sacrifice and prepared things just for us. We have more now because of what others did in our stead. Preparations were made for us to be a better people. Today is the last Sunday of worship before we hear all of our what we call Christmas messages. So it's laid on my heart to remind you today of the fact that before Jesus was born, God so ordained and had it to be shared even by the prophets, that there would be a child born not by the power of the Holy Ghost, but would be the forerunner to come and prepare the people of one that would come with power and save mankind from our sins. So this is the day of preparation. If we would turn to Isaiah, as we heard read early in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 3 to 5 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." When we read the words of the prophets, we have to understand that many occasions you'll hear them say, "And the word of the Lord came unto me saying." So we got to understand that it's not my will or your will, but it's God's will. And God had the will and even the mindset to let the people know, even in the Old Testament days, that there was one that was going to come to be the forerunner. But then I'm so glad to know the best was still yet to come. What is implied here is that the return of the children of Israel from bondage in Babylon would have a desert route, and obstacles would be removed, smoothing out the highway. The hills represent the carnal pride of the people. But even in that deliverance, we find that God was in the midst. When we think about the word prepare, it is to make something ready for use or consideration. So the one who made the preparations was one that we know called John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who was obedient and righteous, was childish, but the angel Gabriel told them that in their old age, they would have a child, and told them that his name was to be called John. Now, when Zacharias got the news, he doubted God. And because of his doubts, that's why when you pray with faith, don't be wavering. Don't have mixed emotions. Don't be wishy-washy. You know any wishy-washy folk? Tell you what they think you want to hear. Tell you those things that they have no intention on doing. But now, because Zacharias doubted God, the Bible declares that he had his whole voice taken away. You got to be careful what you do and how you do it. The Bible declared that after the priest Zacharias was a priest, He was in the temple and he was burning incense. He was doing what God had purposed him to do. But in the midst of him taking care of his job, he saw an angel standing off to the right. And because his angel showed up out of nowhere, it gave Zacharias what we call fear. Sometimes we are scared of our own shadow. Some of us are scared of the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of us don't want nobody. I don't care whether you got it or don't have it. I don't want just anybody touching me. But there are some folk that don't want nobody touching you. Don't let them act like they're in the Spirit of God. I remember the time when we were in the traveling circuit of singing and some of those people that would just get all carried away. And we see them walking around and touching folk and all this stuff. And we begin to think, I think in my mind, don't come this way. When you do what God says do, you can't worry about those that are fearful like I was. You got to do what God said do. But now, sometimes, because of the music, because of the atmosphere, some folks just feel like this is a good opportunity for me to make somebody think I got it. Now I realize that the prophecy is real because we just read out of Isaiah. Isaiah was told in advance that there was a forerunner that was going to come before the Messiah. Isaiah was the same one that prophesied that that there would be a child born to a virgin. And the New Testament hadn't even come about. So now when you see the power of God moving, you got to be careful who you question. Now, as Zacharias was there in the temple, he finished his ministration and were accomplished, and he departed the temple on his way home. Now, the one thing is that he had an experience inside the temple. He might have been talking to himself. He might have been talking to God, but because of his doubt of the news that he got, now he can't speak a mumbling word. So now, here this man is. He stayed there so long that the people on the outside were beginning to wonder, what is wrong with Zacharias? Why is he staying in the temple so long? But after he had fulfilled his obligation, and when the time had come for him to come out, then after a few days, the full time for his wife had come. Family and friends rejoiced with her. And then in that particular time, on the eighth day, there came circumcision of the child. And this was the time, you know, we got these books with children's names in it. And we be ready with a name beforehand. Some of them books, they need to throw away. Some of these names we come up with. Name our children anything. Just because that's what we want to call. Half the time they can't spell their own name for a long time. Because you're so smart, you wanted to name your child something different. But now, in the old days, people had the mindset, and because they loved God, they sort of named their children after biblical people. And then the biblical people, if you read your Bible, they sort of had the same mind we got now. Name the child after the father if it's a boy. Some of us, we if we have a girl, we'll change that name to where it's a boy's name, but we put a little twist on it so it'll fit a girl. So now, here they are on that eighth day of circumcision that the child was to be circumcised and named. And all of the busybodies that were in the midst say, I know you're going to call him Zacharias. He the daddy. We got so many juniors. that we got carried away. We got John the first and John the third and John the second. Just won't let go. But when they told Elizabeth this, she said, oh, no. His name shall be called John. Now, you ever seen folk that, you know you have, like the metal? What's wrong with Elizabeth? Talking about John. Nobody in their family named John. Where'd she get that name from? I'm going to go over here and talk to Zacharias. See, can I find out why is Elizabeth talking about your baby boy going to be named John? At the time, of course, Zacharias could not speak. So they made sign to him to let him know that we want to know, what are you going to name your child? Zacharias said, give me a tablet and I'll write it down for you. So he got the tablet and he wrote down, his name shall be called John. Folk ought to mind their business. Because when at that moment Zacharias become obedient to what God had said do. So now, even though you may have to suffer some persecution for your sin, when you get it right, God will make it right. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. So we find that when he wrote this down, immediately his tongue loosed. Now he can talk again. And I believe the first thing that came out of his mouth, God, I want to thank you for allowing me to be obedient to your will, for allowing me to do what you told me to do. And now what I'm going to do, I'm just going to praise you. Let my family think what they want. Let my friend think what they want. I don't care if they know who John is or not, but my son is going to be named John. See, realize that God had a purpose for all of our lives. Doesn't matter what you say or what you think. We got to know that we got to do what the Lord God said do. John lived a righteous and holy life. He preached repentance. He baptized people in the name of the Lord. But he realized that all he did was baptize with water. But the Bible declared that in the beginning of the gospel, that the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, that God would send a messenger. John was the messenger. John came out to let the people know that there's one coming after me. And I want to let you know this morning that you got to trust the power of a loving God. I can hear John now saying, you got to repent from all of your sins. If you want to be saved, open up your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. That God that was stood there on Calvary. I want to thank God this morning for being my God. I want to thank God for John the Baptist. I want to thank God that John stayed in his lane. Realize that I got a little bit of power. I got some things that I can do. But I'm just going to baptize them with the water. But there's one coming after me, whose shoes I'm not able to sit down and loose. I want to let you know that I got somebody. Even though God had given me a purpose, even though I'm doing the will of God, I know that my God is going to send somebody. And when God sends somebody, I just came to pave the way. I came to let you know that there is a God somewhere. For when I was in my mother's womb, I heard the voice of Mary. And all of a sudden, the babe began to leap in the womb. So John got the Holy Ghost inside the womb of Elizabeth. But I come to let you know that when God comes, when Jesus comes, he will be able to baptize you not only with the water, but with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning that know that you got power?
that didn't come from your mama. You got power that didn't come from your daddy. You got power that didn't come from the money in your pocket. But your power comes from the Holy Ghost. And with Holy Ghost power, you can call on the name of the Lord. And things will change and happen in your life. I believe somebody in the house has been crying out to the Lord. Say, a better day is coming. And I'm so glad that no matter where I am right now, the best is yet to come. I got joy right now. But I got joy on the other side, where everything is going to be all right. I'm not worried about nobody. I'm not worried about what you got to go through. But when I look up to the hills, knowing that all of my help comes from God, I somebody tell somebody, hallelujah, Jesus, that the best is yet to come. No matter where you are right now, there's a better day coming. That's why John said, there's one coming after me that is mightier than I am. You see, because when John preached repentance, many called on the name of the Lord and was forgiven of their sins. But John wanted them to know that there's somebody coming after me. That is going to do greater works. And that's going to do more things than you've seen me do. So as we get ready for the birth of Jesus the Christ, don't forget the forerunner. Don't forget John the Baptist. Don't forget the fact that even in the midst of being conceived, God blessed him. God kept him, and God made everything all right. Sometimes you have to have a deaf ear to what the people say and follow the spirit of what God says. If God tells you, you just stay there until I come. I don't care what they send your way. Tell them, that's all right, you go ahead. I'm waiting on somebody. I'm waiting for my God to send my deliverance. How many of you in here this morning know that your deliverance came from a mighty God that looked beyond your faults? You see, as we get ready to celebrate Jesus, the Bible declared, even in the prophets, that he's coming to save us from our sins. So if you stuck on stuck and you can't get away from your sinful ways, it's nobody's fault but your own. For the best is yet to come. Trust God. Believe in God. And believe that he will send somebody to pave the way. We see it every day. God touches you and God heals you. He has healed you so that you can tell somebody that my God is a healer. He is a keeper. And there are greater things for you than what you can imagine. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. I'm so glad this morning to know that there is a God. That if you got the right mindset, holding on to your faith, as I saw one of my brothers last evening, they've had below his knees, both of his legs have been taken off. But he wasn't in a wheelchair last night. He had a cane. And he walked from the back of the church to the front of the church. And all I could see was Jesus working in his life. So don't give up in despair when you have your hard times.
Yes, yes.
There's nothing too hard for the Lord.
Yes.